This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 376 of Israel's genocide in Gaza as the war on Lebanon expands. Here's a brief summary of some of the latest developments in Gaza, the West Bank, and Lebanon. In Gaza, Israeli forces are continuing to massacre, bomb, and starve the hundreds of thousands of Palestinians in the north while carrying out horrific slaughters in the central areas. In the northern Gaza Strip, Israel has been leveling neighborhoods in Jabalia and continuing to surround and attack homes, shelters, and hospitals. According to reporters and human rights organizations, the Israeli army has been sending automated vehicles and robots laden with explosives to destroy entire buildings. Euromed Human Rights Monitor states that, quote, Israel's army has completely cut off the northern Gaza governorate from Gaza City by deploying military vehicles, placing sand barriers and the rubble of destroyed homes, in addition to fire cover from drones. Using three different methods, aerial bombardment, booby-trapped robots, and planting explosives in homes before blowing them up, Euromed says, the Israeli army has increased its operations to destroy homes and residential buildings in the areas of its incursion in northern Gaza. The group says that in addition to destroying and burning bakeries and destroying what remained of the water wells, Israeli forces continue to barricade northern Gaza from receiving humanitarian supplies, leaving those who survived the killings and direct bombardment at risk of starvation. The majority of residents are trapped without access to food or other necessities of life as they are unable to leave their homes or shelter centers in search of food, and especially since many of them have been forcibly evacuated multiple times, leaving behind their personal possessions and food supplies. Mohamed Hadi, the United Nations Humanitarian Coordinator for the Occupied Palestinian Territories, stated that since October 1st, quote, Israeli authorities have increasingly cut off northern Gaza from essential supplies. Erez and Erez West crossings have been kept closed, and no essentials have been allowed from the south. Three renewed orders have been issued on October 7th, 9th, and 12th, directing people's displacement. According to Israeli media, the Israeli army is implementing a plan to ethnically cleanse northern Gaza and turn it into a closed military zone. The plan, conceived by retired Major General Giora Eiland and carried out by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, aims to push northern Gaza's residents south of the Netzarim corridor, threatening starvation and execution for those who remain. Euromed Monitor stated this week that nearly 400,000 Palestinians in the northern Gaza Strip are at risk of starvation, including approximately 200,000 who have been without food or water for nearly 2 weeks. Quote, after their limited food supplies ran out, dozens of Palestinians trapped in the Jabalia refugee camp were forced to head to the main food supply center of the UN's Agency for Palestine Refugees on Monday in order to secure food for their families. However, the Israeli army targeted them with shells and quadcopter drones, killing 10 people and injuring at least 40 more. Many of the victims are still lying in the streets and cannot be taken to the hospital due to the threat of further Israeli violence, they say. Israel said that it allowed the entry of 30 flour trucks into the North Gaza governorate on Monday through the Erez crossing. But the Gaza government media office admonished this token flour delivery as a public relations move as Israel systematically starves Gaza and tightens the siege. Quote, what is happening in the northern Gaza Strip is actual genocide and ethnic cleansing, the media office said on Monday, and the total destruction of homes, residential neighborhoods, streets, roads, infrastructure, hospitals, schools, mosques, and all vital sectors, which comes within the framework of the American-Israeli Occupation Plan for Displacement, which is the largest and most dangerous American-Israeli occupation plan in the 21st century. Quote, we condemn the crimes of systematic killing and starvation committed by the Israeli occupation army against civilians and displaced persons and killing them in the streets of the northern governorate. And we also condemn the occupation's persistent efforts to overthrow the health system and turn the north into an area of ruin and total destruction. And we call on the international community and all countries of the world to condemn these ongoing crimes. Journalist Anas al-Sharif in northern Gaza stated, quote, the occupation army attempted to reduce international criticism by claiming to have brought in trucks loaded with flour to the northern part of the Gaza Strip. We affirm that, as of now, nothing has entered and that the northern part of the Gaza Strip is being subjected to a systematic extermination campaign and total destruction of homes and infrastructure. The aim of this extermination war is to turn the north into an uninhabitable area and alter its demographic reality to force the residents to flee. Meanwhile, the UN's health cluster says that all three hospitals in northern Gaza, Kamal Adwan, Al Auda, and the Indonesian hospital, are operating at minimum capacity amid dire shortages of fuel, blood units, trauma disposables, medications for patients with non-communicable diseases, and the ongoing military activities nearby. The Palestinian Ministry of Health in Gaza stated over the weekend that the dead and injured remained in the streets and under the rubble, where ambulance crews could not reach them. The ministry added that the Israeli army has prevented the entry of blood units from the southern Gaza Strip to hospitals in the north. Journalist Hossam Shabat reported that, quote, due to the Israeli occupation siege on Jabalia camp, most injuries caused by the occupation's bullets and shelling lead to death, as there are no medical resources or capabilities available to effectively treat the wounded. In Gaza City, journalist Motassem Dalul reported on a massacre in the Zaytun neighborhood on Tuesday.
Today I'm reporting about the Israeli murder of 10 people in the Zaytun neighborhood of the Gaza City. One of the people who were murdered is my cousin. He was an old man. He was killed along with his daughter, son-in-law, and three of his grandchildren.
In central Gaza, Israel carried out several massacres on school shelters and tents of displaced people. On Sunday, the Israeli army bombed the Mufti school in Nuseirat refugee camp, killing at least 22 and injuring 80. Another strike on Nuseirat early Tuesday morning killed at least 5 Palestinians. Israel bombed the tents of displaced Palestinians inside the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital courtyard in Deir al-Balah early Monday morning, killing at least 5 and injuring dozens. In images and photos that were circulated worldwide, flames engulfed the tent shelters, burning people alive. Shaban al-Dalu, 19 years old, was killed alongside his mother. Shaban had survived an Israeli airstrike last week and was recovering from his injuries. He was still hooked up to an IV. Our contributor Abu Bakr Abed reported that Shaban was a freshman at the Al-Azhar University of Gaza studying software engineering. Israel destroyed his home and his university and immolated him yesterday at Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital after forcibly displacing him earlier last year, Abu Bakr said. The Gaza government media office stated on Monday that this was the 7th attack on the tents inside the hospital's courtyard since January. A surgeon, Dr. Mohammed Tahir, told Al Jazeera that he and his overwhelmed team were already dealing with another mass casualty incident, the Israeli shelling of a school sheltering displaced Palestinians in Nuseirat, when victims from the hospital attack came streaming in. Quote, we were inundated. We had women, men, children as young as 1 year of age dying in front of our eyes, Tahir told Al Jazeera. He added that patients came in with burns on up to 80% of their bodies, many of whom won't survive. Quote, patients with significant high percentage burns, unfortunately, their fate is sealed. They won't even make it to the ICU. They will die, the doctor said. It's a horror show here. Honestly, sometimes I feel like this is not real life, that this can go on and this degree of suffering is allowed to happen in this world. And Israel killed yet another journalist in Gaza this week. Ayman Ruweishat, who was a photojournalist for Al-Aqsa TV, is the 177th media worker to be killed over the last 12 months of Israel's genocide in Gaza, according to the Gaza Government Media Office. This week, we wanted to highlight excerpts of two features we published from writers in northern Gaza. Malak Hijazi recounts the many times over the years when Israel dropped flyers from the sky, ordering Palestinians to leave their homes in previous wars. She writes, quote, "I can't even recall their orders clearly. They probably don't either. There have been so many. We didn't pay much attention to them back then. What I do remember is mocking the grammar mistakes and punctuation errors. Now, though, they've grown more aggressive. The Israeli army introduced a new evacuation system in northern Gaza, replacing the old block system with a new one. They claim in their flyer they'll use it as necessary. They've announced they will invade Jabalia and the surrounding areas for the third time. The message is clear. Leave now for your own good. As if Palestinians across the Gaza Strip don't already live in a constant dangerous combat zone. As if danger is something foreign to us. They want us to abandon our homes forever. They want to empty our streets and our lives, all under the pretense of protection, even though they've bombed supposed humanitarian zones countless times before. Sometimes I feel my grandparents were luckier than us. They didn't have Instagram story archives to remind them of what they lost, like the almond tree by the house or the house itself. They weren't asked, what's your message to a world that has failed you? They didn't see pictures of themselves while evacuating or videos of them crying over their murdered loved ones. The world watches as the skies rain down orders, and we're left to contend with a reality of uncertainty and despair. The disconnect is overwhelming. We're expected to comply with threats, our very existence reduced to numbers scattered across all of Palestine. We hold on to hope, wishing that someone, somewhere, will break through the indifference and finally see us. But as the echoes of bombs fill our days, I can't help but wonder if anyone is truly listening." That's from Malak Hijazi's feature, Orders from the Sky, on electronicintifada.net. And a writer who we're calling Mahmoud in order to conceal his identity for safety reasons writes this week that he never expected this nightmare to repeat itself. Mahmoud explains, quote, "The violent sounds of bombing on Wednesday nearly tore the windows from their frames, shaking the building intensely. Amid those fiery barrages, something massive suddenly broke through the sky, roaring with tremendous force. It was an Apache helicopter. Some powerful explosions were the result of shells fired from warships. I can differentiate these sounds from a million other sounds, as I am used to hearing them. All of this confirmed what we feared. The Israeli military was preparing for a ground invasion, just like the first time. The entire neighborhood, I live in the Nasser area of Gaza City, awoke in terror to these sounds, and tension and fear dominated the atmosphere. I attempted more than 20 times to call my aunt in Jabalia. With every failed attempt, I felt my aunt fading away, just like my dear father had before her. As reality was about to sink in, and after a complete hour, I called her one more last time, clinging to the hope of a miracle that she would somehow finally answer. And she did. She was alive, but we could barely hear each other through the intermittent connection. Her sentences were reaching me fragmented, as patchy words, and I am sure mine were the same for her. I could understand from her that Israeli troops had already stormed Jabalia. Many had been killed, and people were trapped in their homes. I felt it. I knew the nightmare was crawling again to our neighborhood." That's from Mahmoud's feature, Israel Prepares to Invade and Empty the North Again, on electronicintifada.net. Turning to the occupied West Bank, Israeli forces invaded Jenin City and the Jenin refugee camp yet again this week in an eight-hour invasion on Monday in which the army killed a child and a young man and injured four people, according to the Wafa news agency. Defense for Children International Palestine reported that Rayan Ibrahim Hassan Al-Sayed, 14 years old, was shot twice by an Israeli soldier positioned inside a heavily armored Israeli military vehicle from a distance of about 20 meters away around 11:40 a.m. on Monday near the entrance of the Old City of Jenin. Rayan was allegedly throwing stones toward heavily armored Israeli military vehicles driving through the main street when one of the vehicles stopped and a soldier inside shot him once on the left side of his chest and then again in the neck, Defense for Children International Palestine added. Several young Palestinians transported Rayan in a private car to Al-Razi Hospital in Jenin. He was immediately taken into surgery to attempt to control the bleeding in his lungs, but doctors pronounced him dead around 1:45 p.m. The Israeli army returned on Tuesday, Wafa reported, again invading the camp and Jenin city, flanked by bulldozers, surveillance drones, and undercover Israeli forces. And briefly in Lebanon, the Middle East director of the Office of the UN High Commissioner for Refugees said that more than one quarter of the entire country is now under Israel's forced evacuation orders. Rima Jamous Imsais said that Israel issued the orders for forcible displacement on 20 villages in southern Lebanon and that people, quote, are fleeing with almost nothing. National authorities report that 1.2 million people have been affected or uprooted by Israel's orders as airstrikes continue around the clock. Al-Manar reported on Monday that Israel bombed the northern Lebanese town of Aito, killing more than 20 people. Israel also raided a convoy of aid trucks near Baalbek in Baqa, Al-Manar added. Israeli airstrikes destroyed the heart of the ancient market in the city of Nabatea on Saturday, along with hundreds of businesses and shops. According to the news publication Al-Akhbar, eight large adjacent buildings were razed to the ground. Finally, we wanted to bring you this video of our contributor Abu Bakr Abed in a personal video talking about his dream of being back inside a football stadium, watching and commenting on the players and the beautiful game.
This is the game between Manchester City and Fulham. For City are looking forward to getting the 3 points after a draw against Newcastle United last time. This is where I want to be. Just a football correspondent and commentator at the same time. These are the years that I've been spending my life for, just to make sure that I'm going to be that football correspondent, that football commentator, but not thrown into an active war zone where I just continuously report on the murder of my people and also on the massive destruction of Gaza, as well as the obliteration of whole neighborhoods across the territory. This is Abu Bakr. This is where he wanted to be, always, not today or anytime, but it's just forcible and obligatory that I do my duty towards my homeland and towards my people. But always, the dream is all I want, to be inside a stadium, to be inside a cabinet and commentate in a football game, especially in games that I always love, particularly in the Premier League.
And that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our brave writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.